Stacy, from Florida.
That's not intimidating. My name is Stacy, I'm an addict.
Stacy.
Yeah, it's gone. Yeah. I don't know if it's the recording or the microphone or the combination of the two, but I'm a bit nervous, and I have to share that I am here. I've been here since Wednesday, and you know, obviously I'm an addict, and I think about random fleeting thoughts, but I have not wanted to use this badly in a very, very long time. You guys have alcohol everywhere. I mean, that's what you guys do here. You just stand on the corner and just drink all day. That's what it looks like. So of course, that's like what I'm around. So I've been just thinking, I want to drink. I don't even care about drinking, but like, I want to drink. So like, I belong here. I've earned my seat here. I'm definitely an addict. I also want to like, the biggest part of my message is that like, I love NA. I love NA. It works. I like, it has saved my life. It has changed my life. I drank the NA Kool-Aid. I believe in this program, you know, for a very long time. I still can be. I'm like known as Captain Recovery just because it's like so powerful. And I'm just super grateful for it. You know, NA taught me to never say no, even when I want to, because when Dean asked me, I wanted to say no. I just wanted to come hear what you guys had to say. I did not want to sit up here and be recorded with a microphone. But NA didn't say no to me, so here I am. I also want to share that, like, I love drugs. I love them. I absolutely love them. If there was a way that I could do them successfully, I would. And I have tried all of the ways. I have tried to fix, manage, and control. I've tried to only use this kind of drug or only do it this way or, you know, do it upside down, whatever it, like, looks like, and it just doesn't work for me. You know, just to fast forward to, like, really what it looked like at the end is that I started using in a way, and I said I would never, and I was a junkie. I was living in trap houses with, you know, a meth and heroin problem that was, like, you know, I was unemployable. My family wouldn't talk to me. The only people that were in my life are people that, like, also bamboozled and okie-doked everyone around us. You know, all we did was steal from each other and ways and means to get more. That's what my life looked like. And as soon as I got one, I was thinking about the next one. And it was hell. It was a prison that I was in every single day, and I thought I could never get out. At the end of my addiction, I was pregnant with a meth cook's twin babies. I wanted to stop using. Just like I wanted to be a good mom. I have a son, he's 17. I wanted to be a good mom. I wanted to get a job. I wanted to do all these things, but the drugs always made every decision for me. They told me if I was going to sleep that day, if I was going to shower that day, if I was going to answer your phone call, they made the choices for me. And although, like, we know sitting here sound mind today that, like, when you're pregnant, you don't use, like, right? But, like, I didn't have a choice at that time. I got very, very sick. It's kind of like opiate sick times a million, like the worst flu you can think of. And I was like 26 weeks pregnant, and I was giving the babies up for adoption, but nonetheless, I was pregnant. And I got very, very, very sick, and I ended up with endocarditis, which is vegetation of the heart. It's a direct result from shooting dope. And so I was airlifted to a hospital in Orlando, and it was very bad. I've had four major surgeries. I spent almost 4 months in the hospital. During that time, I lost both of the twins. During that time, they read me my last rites. During that time, I had no idea really what was going on, right? There's just like little glimpses of my memory. It's probably a good thing, you know. I just see little pictures of it from that because I was just so sick. You know, my family started to plan my funeral. And basically, I mean, just like all of you guys, we shouldn't be here, right? We shouldn't be here. And somehow, obviously I made it. but during the last like month of my hospital stay, like, was the first real time that like I realized that I do have a problem and I need some help. Like, back up a little bit. I've gone to detoxes many times, but the only time I went to detox is when I was just didn't want to be out on the streets. I literally would just go to like clean up for a few days and ready for the next run, you know? That's all I use detox for. I never actually wanted to do anything different. And in the hospital, I did want to do something different. But I went back to the same people, places, things. You know what I mean? Like, so I went right back to using. And with endocarditis, it's not if you die, it's when you die, if you use, continue using. So like the last month of my using was out of control, right? Because like I knew I had a death sentence. And like it got so terrible, you know, as you guys know what it can be like out there. And then one day, I don't know, like I was about to get high and I was like, I'm gonna die a junkie. You know, I had another chance and I didn't take it. And so I called my sister and like I heard meetings. Well, I didn't hear. I've been to meetings in detox, but I didn't actually hear anything, you know? So I didn't really know about that way yet. And so I moved to Virginia. I got clean. I got abstinent from drugs and I went to church with her, right? That's like what it looked like. And she, it was almost like I lived in like a halfway house with my sister. She had like all these rules and she's younger than me, but I had to like be home by a certain time. And I had to like, I can only watch things 13 and younger on TV. I don't know, like all these stupid rules that made no sense to me. Like I had to prove that I looked for jobs every day and ride public transportation. And you guys do that here in Florida. We don't have to. It's like, only like the poor people ride public transportation, like, right? It's not like a thing that you have to do there. It's a small city. And so it was just like, it was terrible. I just spent every day like crying and I wanted to die and I begged God to die. And she would have me go to church with her. And I say this because like I grew up Catholic and I mean, I've always believed in something, but I don't really know what it was. And I would go to this Christian church with her and these people would be in there like with their eyes closed and their arms up and like crying, and I call it twerking for Jesus, and it was I was uncomfortable for them because they were like so free and like feeling Jesus or whatever, and I was so uncomfortable, right? Well, I ended up getting sick while I was in Virginia, and they thought the endocarditis had come back because of my using, right? Prior to that, so I went to the hospital. I spent 5 days there, and in that 5 days. Four of them, I thought I was being transferred to hospice. When I tell you that when I having talks to God, saying I promise I'm going to do something different in my life, you know, because during the time in Virginia, like I stopped using, but my life was still miserable. I wanted to die. I didn't think life was for me. I was like, the drugs are gone, but this, you know, like life is terrible. And so on the fifth day, they told me that it wasn't endocarditis. I have a heart problem that can be fixed if I stay clean. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to do something. And I decided to move back to Florida. And I had seen a lot of people, like friends of mine that I'd grown up with, that all had like similar stories of mine. And they like seemed super happy on Facebook and stuff. And they're all doing this recovery thing. And I was like, all right, I've tried it all my way. I've tried every way possible. So let me do this other way, right? I mean, these people were worse than me and they're fine. So like, let me try this out. And so I came back to Florida and I went to my first Sunday meeting. And when I tell you that it was like, everything I had been looking for so long, you know, my whole life I had been looking for a group of friends, like people that I could just fit in with, that I could feel a part of, that I am not a chameleon to, but actually belong, regardless of like what I look like or what I bring to the table or whatever, that I could just be my authentic true self. Like that's what I saw when I went to the meeting. And people had like real smiles on their faces and they like all were like hugging people, and like nobody I was around cared about, like nobody smiled when they saw me for a very long time. Nobody wanted to hug me for a very long time. And everybody had cigarettes and their own cars, and you know, where I came from for the last few years, and we didn't have those things. You know, cigarettes came from the ground or you rolled them yourself, because that, you know, that's what it looked like. And so I decided I was gonna give this a try. I was gonna do this recovery thing. And I don't know if you, well, no, your meeting schedules are way different. So we have a very small, it's like a pamphlet, and it has suggestions. And somebody that I looked up to said, if you follow these suggestions, you will stay clean. So I did them until they became like breathing. And now, like, you know, I have over 4 years clean and I do all those things and they are like breathing. If I don't do them, I feel weird, right? It's such a part of my life that if I'm off, that is why. I'm not doing one of the things that has become like breathing. In the beginning, like, I always think that, like, people in their first year, I don't think you're ever as spiritually like fit as that first year. You're just like, so, you know, like if you stick around and you see the, I don't know. So like, and I was Captain Recovery. Like everybody had to hear about the message of Narcotics Anonymous. Oh, you have an attitude? Well, I could save them. Let's, you know, like I did all that. It was a little much, but I learned, you know. but in that time, like, I don't know where it clicked or how it happened, but I became like this positive person. And like, I believe some of us are given this light, right? And it's our job to light other people's light. And I was given people in my life that first year that like lit my light up. And it's, you know, it's just like transformed who I am and what I care about and my belief system and all of the things that I never knew that mattered. And my first year clean, my dad died. I was able to stay clean through that. Not only like somebody that was close to me, their father had just died, they helped me through that. And then I help somebody else through that. And that's how this works, is that no matter what we go through, there's somebody else that has gone through it, and then somebody's going to go through it. So somebody, you know, it's the power of this program, you know? And that's what it's looked like for years now. No matter what it is I go through, somebody helps me get through it, and then somewhere around the corner, I'm helping someone else. I also had surgery. I had to have my heart valve, my tricuspid valve replaced. And so I've gone through major surgery and without leaving with pain medicine and without, you know, with keeping my clean date, you know, because that is the most important gift. Like it's the most special gift I've been given in my life. And I hold on to it like my life depends on it because it does. You know, I was also taught that this program is about the steps, right? So I don't, do you guys have the step working guide? Right, okay. I mean, I don't know. Like, some people use the worksheets, I don't know. So like I was told, the people that I looked up to, that was like bred into me, like that it's the power of the steps. So like very early on, I got very involved in step work. And you know, this, before having 4 years clean, I finished the steps. And like, that's like a big deal, you know, like doing it, that's like a commitment. You know, like I never turned in homework, I never did the things, and like I did them, all of them, like thoroughly. And like it was very, I was very, very proud of myself. And I was also, you know, expecting like this big thing to happen when you get done. You know, like I was like, so I just worked this. It took me years. Like something happening. Is God gonna come down? And like that didn't happen. But after like, you know, a day and some thought on it, is that my life today is the gift that the 12 steps gave me. The person I am today is the gift that the 12 steps gave me. And then for like months afterward, when I tell you like this, that what they talk about, the spiritual awakening that you have by working the 12 steps, like I found myself, when I was working my 11 step, I decided to start going to church, right? I go to church on Sundays. I really just like the music, but I go and after working the 12 steps, I now stand up in the front row and I become one of the people that's worked for Jesus with my arm raised up because I'm so free and I am authentically me and I don't care. I don't care what you think of me looking the fool crying at church. And like, that's special, right? That's the gift that they gave me. Because for so long, I was crippled with fear and I was so uncomfortable with my feelings and I was so uncomfortable. If you saw that, I do feel really good about this right now and I do twerk for Jesus. And so that, you know, that was where the power of it. What else? How much time do I got?
You thought 20 minutes.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay. So what I do also, so the front of the meeting list, right? The front, if people, if you're new here, you're just coming back, I'm sure you got the suggestions somewhere. They're not on your book or whatever, but those suggestions of what kept me clean and through all of the things, right? They say get service commitment. So like any good addict, I got all the service commitments, you know. I am the secretary of my home group, which meets on Sunday nights in Daytona. I am on our convention committee for DACNA, which is the Daytona Area Convention of Narcotics Anonymous. We are like the biggest local convention in Florida, area convention in Florida, and I'm the programming chair. So, and I, yeah, that's like, I take that very pride in that job, and pride in the job, right? Also, and I take a meeting out to detox the fourth Sunday of every month, or fourth Saturday of every month. And that is so powerful to go out there and sit in a room of people that, and like walk out an hour later, you know? I've been trying to get badged for the jail. It's a process. I'm not really sure what's taking so long, but that one I'm looking forward to doing. Also, so like, I know where my purpose is in life, right? To like give hope to the hopeless and my light and all that thing, but like that doesn't pay the bills, right? And I like nice things. And so for a long time, I felt like lost, right? Like, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do with my life? I'm 34. I don't want to go back to school. I owe a lot of money on student loans, like all of the things. And so for like the last year and a half, I just didn't know what to do. And I've just been kind of working these jobs that just aren't aligned with who I am, right? They make money, but they're not in line with like my integrity and my beliefs and all of that. And then what I know is that if I continue to do the footwork, God always looks out for me. And this last year, I found this this job. Actually, backstory. So I also gained 100 pounds. I put down the spoon, and I picked up all of the forks, right? All of them. And I gained 100 pounds when I got cleaned. And in the last few years, I've lost about 70 of them. And that takes a lot of people out, you know? Male and female, but like how we feel about ourselves, like, you know, on the outside can determine a lot of the inside. So I did a lot of work on the inside and then eventually worked on the outside. So then I found this job. I went on Indeed, right? And it was like, when I read this, I was like, this can't be a job. This is like what I do every day. You know, like it's being inspiring to people, motivate them to lose weight, remind them, like just what I do for work now is like I remind people to drink water and to believe in themselves and teach them how to like change their lives, but like in food, right? Because that's an addiction too. But like these people come in, they're looking for help, and I literally use all the things that are in these books that I've been taught for years, and I get paid like really well to do it. You know, if that's not God working in my life, you know, tangible evidence of an intangible power greater than myself. And I have clients that like cry, like happy tears, you know, to me, and I'm just so grateful that I finally found what I'm supposed to do with my life. This last few months, because like it's an ebb and flow, right? Like we're either in a storm or preparing for the next one. And these last few months have been kind of a bit of both for me, which is and I'm in like in a place in my recovery where I've never really been before. Like I'm normally so gung-ho and all that. But I've kind of like feel like, I mean, we all kind of get there. Like I'm sick of going to meetings all the time. I'm sick of doing all the things. I'm sick of having all the commitments. I want to keep my clean date, but I don't want to do all the things. What I know from coming around is that, you know, people that stop coming around, there's a reason for that, right? So I do know that, and I do have a healthy fear of losing my clean date. So for that reason, I just keep coming, and I know that the feeling will eventually change, so they say. But, you know, this last few months, like, my mom had a heart attack and was in on life support and, like, all of these things. And normally where I have this huge, big faith, I lost it, and I was preparing for the worst, and it just kind of brought me to a negative place. And I've been trying to get myself out of there. I'm running out of things to talk about. It's been a very long few days. I'm not used to this much traveling on foot at all, actually. what recovery looks like in my life today is that, and a practical application of the steps is that when I am so tired and I don't know where I am and my Google Maps is not working because I'm in a foreign country and the data here for T-Mobile is not great, and Uber doesn't want to take us back to Angel because it's too far, so I don't even know. It looks like me not freaking out on my boyfriend. It looks like me not starting a tantrum or throwing a fit. That's what it looks like on a day-to-day level, right? As having, practicing that pause, and I'm so grateful for it in this town. the ability to tell myself, because like really, holding on to that as I walked around, even leading up to the meeting here, like there's that street and everybody looks so cool out on the street, right? You guys know what I'm talking about, whatever it is right there. And I was like, man, maybe I should go in there. Oh wait, I gotta go speak. So like I had to do that, right? So I don't know. That's really all I got. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.